one hot swap we have done.
Yeah.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
Not bad for Friday morning.
Not bad for Friday morning. We have Jim Gorman with us. Okay, and he's got an amazing story. So let me tell a little bit of it, and then Jim, we're gonna welcome you here. Jim, shortly after flying C-47 transport planes to and from New Guinea during World War II, Jim Gorman became the treasurer for this nascent Experimental Aircraft Association Foundation and spent the next 30 years with the company. He estimates he has been coming to AirVenture for about 50 years now. Jim, I want to welcome you to EAA Radio and thank you for making it all the way over here. So I have a quick question. Did the airplane come this year too?
Yes, my airplane is parked out here in the 50-year area.
Fabulous. Will you tell everybody out there in Radio Land what that airplane is?
Well, the airplane is a Beechcraft, and the stagger wing is the name that they attach to it because the wings are staggered on it. And it was built in 1946, was one of the last stagger wings ever built after World War II.
So the airplane is 50 years old?
No, the airplane is a little bit longer than that.
Oh, yes.
And because it was 50 years coming in here,
you gotta do the
math. Airplane is 73 years old.
Right. So you're 50 years old. No, you're not 50 years old.
I'm 95.
95. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a testament. I hope I am doing this kind of thing when I'm your age. What's the secret to making it to 95?
Oh, I don't know. Just normal living, I guess.
That's good. That is great. Well, I mean, you've had quite an exciting life. Did you learn to fly in the Army Air Corps then?
Well, not exactly. My grandmother liked aviation. She was not a pilot, but she was just interested in it. And for graduation from high school, she gave me what we call 10 hours of duel. That means 10 hours of instruction. And of course, that didn't hurt anything at all.
Okay,
that got me started.
Yeah, that's really great. And I mean, so what else did you fly in the service? Did you fly anything besides the Goonie Bird?
Well, basically, I flew the P-51 North American Mustang, and towards the end, I flew a few jets, but not much.
But which one did you like the best?
The stagger wing.
Now, that stagger wing's had some work done to it recently.
Well, we had, it has a retractable landing gear on it, and we found a problem with the retractable landing gear, so we spent a year rebuilding the airplane to get it up here.
That's one of the things about antiques and classics that people sometimes don't understand, which is that when you have a little problem, it can take a very long time to troubleshoot it, find the parts, find the people who can still work on it, and then get it fixed.
No, you're absolutely correct.
That's something they need to be prepared to deal with. You've had this airplane a very long time. I would assume that you've become an expert on where to find stagger wing parts.
Oh, I have become an expert on finding people who can do the work on the airplane.
I'm confident that that's true. Do you ever spend any time in Tullahoma, speaking of people who know something about Beechcraft?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was one of the original people who established the fly-in at Tullahoma. I've been there every year since.
You and I crossed paths then there. One year I came with some neighbors who had Beech 18, and it had a factory Volpe nose wheel conversion, of which there are very, very few.
Right. Now that is an interesting airplane, that Twin Beech.
Yes, it is. It's got quite the history.
Yeah. You know, you spent many years as the EAA's treasurer. Now, we all know that Paul Poberesny was EAA number one. What number were you on the EAA card list?
Oh, actually, my serial number, I think, is 29182. So there were a lot of people that got in ahead of me.
Oh, wow. And so did you get to fly with Paul at all?
No, I don't think I ever flew with Paul, but we became pretty good friends over the years.
Well, we must say that you've helped grow the organization to this month. Did you ever think you'd see an EAA show that would be as massive as this?
Well, no, because I started down at Rockford, and it wasn't anywhere near like this.
Yeah, I remember that. I worked at Rockford as a kid with paddles, directing airplanes, and I thought that was the greatest fun in the whole world. And then they said they were moving it to some place in Wisconsin, but we all managed to survive, I guess. So it's been a great time. So what do you do with yourself during the day these days?
What, up here?
Yeah.
Oh, generally out. What else do? You look at airplanes.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
What do you think that changes over
no,
time?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, have you seen anything that really caught your eye up at the show this year?
No, actually, I've spent most of my time around the Stagger Wing, so I haven't done a lot. My daughter just arrived, and I think we'll probably go out and look at some airplanes this afternoon.
Have you been fielding a lot of questions? What's the most interesting question you've received about the airplane?
The one I like the least.
Yeah, there you go.
How much is it worth?
As if you were going to sell it, right? There's no chance of that happening, right?
Well, I don't think so. I think both of my children are just waiting for me to pass away so they can grab a hold of it.
There's been some serious eye rolling in here at that statement. I don't think anybody's in a hurry for that to happen. You look like you're having way too much fun. So I got to go back to your time at the foundation and ask you, what were the biggest challenges during the time that you were treasurer that you guys managed to get your hands around? I mean, I know there have always challenges.
Well, I think the biggest challenge we had was Rockford announced that they didn't like us. So they suggested we get away from Rockford. So we had to find a new place to go. And to be quite honest with you, the board of directors was somewhat divided on where we should go. There was a fellow by the name of Steve Whitman who kind of said, why don't you come to Oshkosh? And to make a long story short, a lot of the people wanted us to be in the Chicago area. And they said, oh, well, Oshkosh is too far north. No one will ever go there. Well, all you have to do is look out the window today. But it was a pretty close vote. But Steve Whitman really... he solidified that we were going to come here.
Do you know, it's an interesting point that you make about leaving Rockford. Do you remember what other cities were being considered as possible EAA headquarters?
You know, I was thinking about that the other night, and I remember Dallas and Tulsa were considered, but that my memory is not that good anymore.
Oh, I don't know about that. But Dallas and Tulsa, boy, can you imagine how the show would have been different?
In July.
July.
Yeah, it would have been a Tulsa. Little warmer down there.
Well, I'm not even really sure that with those two cities, but there were some fairly large metropolitan areas I remember were considered.
Wow. So if you look back on your flying career, I mean, so you flew the Stagger Wing most of the time when you were working for EAA then, right?
No, early on I had a P-51 Mustang, and I flew it. That was down at Rockford.
Oh.
That was back in the days when you could pick one up for a song, right?
I paid $9,000 for it
with
the new
goodness.
Engine.
I can't believe. I mean, and I remember, as I said, when I was working at Rockford, and I'd see a P-51 taxi by, and I'd go, "Oh, please take me for a ride." Of course, I didn't realize there was only one seat, but I didn't really care.
Well, mine had two seats.
Oh, if I had just known this man then, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Have you been in a P-51?
I have not had the privilege of being in a P-51.
Neither have
I've been in a T-6 a couple of times.
Yeah.
So that gives me the fantasy that I might be able to do something with a P-51. But I know it's a fantasy. They're very different airplanes.
Yeah, they are. One was designed to kill people.
Yeah.
Hopefully not the pilots.
I understand.
Yeah, right. Well, I have always told people that I flew, of course, I said, the P-51 in the military, and I have always told people that if they aren't careful, the Mustang is going to kill them. And all we have as evidence is a bunch of people who had a lot of money and not much pilot ability. When I had my Mustang, there were 300 of them in existence or licensed. And I think it's probably less than 100 today.
That's amazing. So, Jim, we're coming to the end of our time. I want people to know where they can find your Staggerwing if they've just joined us listening. Tell
them
again.
Well, it's just right down here by the Brown Arch. There's a whole area down there that is set aside for airplanes that were flown here 50 years ago and this year, too.
That's
so
terrific. And they can probably maybe even find you down there.
They might, yes.
That's terrific. We've been speaking with Jim Gorman. He has brought his airplane that was here 50 years ago, and it's right out by the Brown Arch. Jim, thank you for joining
us
on EAA Radio today.